views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Hi, this is Phil Free. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm filling in for Colette today. Stay tuned for the next hour to experience the instant relief of using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, and at transformationradio.fm. The energetic shifts are still accessible through HSN, the Higher Self Network, if you are listening later. Today is my pleasure to talk to you with my brother. I also would like to let you guys know that you guys can call in if you guys want to get any energetic weaknesses shifted. And we'd love to hear from you. You can call in at 1-800-930-2819. My guest today, Michael here. Basically, we're going to talk some more about the Enneagram. And how are you today, Michael?
I'm doing well. Be back on the show. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Thank you for asking. All right, well, we're going to just jump right into it then. Basically, today's show, we're going to talk about why it may be hard for you to understand certain people, and it may be hard for certain people to understand you, and we're going to focus in particular on the family. And if you guys want to call in asking about that, we can help you out with the issues, or if you want to call about an energy shift that you would like, you can call in about that as well. All right, Michael, why don't we get into it a little bit? So when it comes to families, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the differences? Why don't you talk about some very common differences to begin you might find in a family dynamic?
Yeah, again, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, a common difference between siblings could be the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. So you can have one child that is very outgoing and is energized by being around people, and one that's that likes to, and the other one can be an introvert that really likes to reflect, that really likes their alone time and feels recharged that way.
Right. And, Well, go on.
So, and it's interesting because I'm sure we've all gone through this where you'll have a brother, sister, same two parents, and you kind of wonder, like, oh, wow, why are they so different? And but that's what makes us unique. We all have different abilities and gifts, and and just being cognizant of that helps better communication.
Yeah, well, so you mentioned the introvert, extrovert. I know that's not the only difference we find. For example, the next letter as applies to, I guess, the Myers-Briggs would be, Myers-Briggs system would be the S and N, right?
Right. That's sometimes what seems to be the hardest to find about someone, but usually has to do how we collect information. So it is still very important. Like, intuitive would like to solve problems between the lines, possibilities. They like to see the big picture. They tend to think a little bit more about the future and be imaginative. While sensing is more like the here and now, the bottom line. They start with facts and then the details and then form a big picture.
Uh huh. So yeah, we were talking together that, you know, since we come from the same family, we're a family of six, and we were talking about this intuitive sensor issue, and we pointed out that in our family happened that I was the only intuitive out of the six. So well, I know for my experience, I know that certainly made me look different, and certainly when it came to the way I looked at things, I think people thought that I might have been in the clouds a lot. That was my experience. That was part of my experience growing up in a family full of S's. Yeah, I know that there's also all kinds of dynamics that we have. We talked about the different letters and kind of we worked out all the different numbers. Is there something you want to talk about in the dynamic with the family as well here?
The introvert, maybe? Yeah, just to share that story. Yeah, I think I've noticed that definitely, like, with the S and N or even the I and S, that especially when there's one family member that has a different letter than the other ones, they'll kind of seem like the odd person out, or everyone's like, oh, why does this person do it differently? The key thing is to notice it's different and not to make labels. Like, oh, this way or that way is worse. That's very key in noticing that thing. I know that personally, like we were talking about, like for me, that I'm kind of on the cusp between E and I. So I kind of relate to both and understand both pretty well, but I can kind of see how like an introvert might just think that an extrovert won't talk too much, and they don't have enough time to process in the information, while the extrovert is confused by the introvert's silence and not sure they understood or if they're listening to what they say.
Right. So, I just want to fill in the listeners here because we mentioned we were going to talk about Enneagram, and here we are talking about these letters, which are part of the Myers-Briggs system. I find it interesting that you find it, you know, in the time that I've talked to you, I've noticed that you combine some of the knowledge of both of them, the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. Do you want to talk about that at all for a minute?
Yeah, of course. So I've noticed that there tends to be patterns between certain numbers and their letter combination. So, for example, like a four will almost always be an intuitive, introvert, a feeler, and usually a perceiver. While, for example, a one, for example, will usually be an extrovert, sensor, thinking, and judger. So it's interesting to notice that you do see trends, and a lot of the numbers will generally have one or two specific letter combinations. So being cognizant of that helps you just get a deeper knowledge of that person and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and how they kind of interact with the world.
Right. So as you just said, the strengths and weaknesses and things like that, basically just for anyone who's just first coming across this and hasn't heard anything like this before, this is not necessarily a map to predict someone's exact behavior, but more to predict their tendencies. Would you say that's correct?
That's right. It's not it's more of a roadmap than a destination. So what I mean by that is that not every five, for example, will have exactly the same story. But I think generally fives kind of get to meet other fives. They'll see kind of common themes that come up in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So you say that these themes are brought on by the different ways that we take on information, and then there's only so many ways that we take on information, so naturally kind of fall into these groupings of, as the Enneagram would put it, in these number groupings, perhaps.
Yes, that's right, because basically there's only so many ways, because they're basically the different letters are kind of two opposite sides of the same coin. So it's usually one or the other. Again, it doesn't, and also doesn't mean you always have a preference. Doesn't mean you always do it one way. But this is more about preference types and what we feel more naturally at ease, and that's usually reflected in people pretty early on in their lives.
Well, so we're going to have to go to break in a couple of minutes, but why don't we quickly just get into these the numbers a little bit? And why don't we talk about just how the numbers interact with each other? Well, actually, we only really have 1 minute before break, so this is something we'll probably just get into after. We'll get into the numbers. We'll get into the directions of integration and disintegration, and we'll talk about more dynamics that we have seen in our lives and how this information helps us, basically. So that's all the stuff we'll talk about after the break, basically. So I am Phil Free, filling in for Colette. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. When we return, we will continue with my brother, Michael. You can feel free to call in at 1-800-930-2819, and we will make some shift happen.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
1230 WBLQ. Hi, we are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Phil Free, and I'm filling in for Colette today. Today I have my brother Michael with me. Before we continue, can you please share your contact information with our audience, please?
Yes, of course. My contact information is m_delage@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 415-250-5268. Email is usually the best way to get a hold of me. And yeah, that's my contact info.
Great. So if people have any questions about this, they can, about this Enneagram or Myers-Briggs combination, they can email you about that. If people want to email me for any energy shifts or anything, they can at whatphil@hotmail.com. That's whatphil@hotmail.com. If anybody wants to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number here is 1-800-930-2819. If you have any questions about the topic or if you want to make some shift happen, please call in. Michael, let's get back into what we were talking about. We're talking about Myers-Briggs and the letters and stuff. And why don't you continue what we were discussing earlier?
Yeah, no, sounds great. So we were talking about the Enneagram and how that how it complements in a lot of ways the Myers-Briggs, because people will ask, well, if I know my Myers-Briggs, you know, what about the Enneagram? Well, the interesting thing is, for example, you could have, like, we have two family members that are both ESTJs, extrovert sensing thinkers and judgers. However, because they have a different number, they are still pretty different in terms of what their natural strength is, what their life struggle is. And and knowing the Enneagram will help give you deeper knowledge, and it help kind of help people figure out that, oh wow, this person has the same letters, but why yet are they still pretty different? And so knowing your number really, like, enhances and complements the Myers-Briggs in terms of a knowledge of someone's personality type.
Uh-huh. I see. So do you have other examples that come to mind? We know we kind of got into the E and the I thing, the introvert, extrovert. We got into the S and the N thing a little bit. Just how the other two play out a little bit, and then we'll get into the numbers after that.
Right, of course. So another one interesting that comes up a lot, and usually as a source of misunderstanding, is between thinkers and feelers. And feelers doesn't mean emotional. It means that they tend to make decisions based on personal values. They tend to make decisions with their heart, to be compassionate. They try to understand someone's personal background and their situation and take that into place. While thinkers also have their value is about being consistent and fair. So they want to apply. They kind of actually want to remove, like, the backstory and all that, and just kind of look at things on, like, more of a fixed standard, and they just want to weigh things out based on that. So they're looking for objectivity. So that is the difference between the thinker and the feeler.
And how about the J and the P?
And the last one too is perceiver and judging, which it also needs kind of clearing up. So a perceiver is someone that is. It has to do with how you go about your day. So a perceiver likes loose guidelines, the basics, and then as the day approaches, then they'll get a clearer idea as they collect more information about how they're going to go about doing the various things they need to do that day. Well, a judger doesn't mean they're judgmental. It's more that they're looking for closure. And very task oriented. They basically have a list. Either they write it down in their head of things they want to do at a particular time, and just kind of follow like a game plan.
Uh huh. So yeah, let's get into this number thing then. So with the Enneagram, they use a number system with 9 personality types, and then there are subtypes as well. We're not going to get into every single one, but why don't we just start talking about, since we're talking about family and family dynamics, why don't we talk about how, you know, certain dynamics might rub each other the wrong way when they, you know, different numbers, for example. Is there some numbers that you know is a particular dynamic that particularly difficult in family dynamics?
Right. And I think often in life is that numbers that will have pretty different letter combinations can definitely definitely conflict. For example, you can have a 2, a helper, with a 5. So a 2 helper is usually an extroverted, intuitive, feeler, perceiver, while a 5 is an introvert. They're either sensing or intuitive. They're kind of half on that. But they're thinkers and they're judgers. So when they're communicating, the 2 is going to want to talk, and almost kind of talk their thoughts out loud, while the 5 is going to want to retreat and want silence to kind of collect thoughts and make decisions. And they're going to look at things very analytically on an objective level. So they might sense that the feeler, which is in this case the 2, is too emotional, not very practical minded, doesn't have any a very, very consistent way of making decisions, while the 2 might perceive the 5 as being kind of cold-hearted and stiff. And so a lot of times, when you're not aware of that, it's easy to make judgments on decisions on people, like, oh, they're kind of harsh or things of that sort. But when you understand that it's not one way is better than the other, but it's how they collect information and make decisions and interact with people, it gives a lot of deeper understanding, and it helps engage the other person when you're aware of such differences.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, there's also this thing in the Enneagram called the direction of integration and disintegration. Can you give an example of each of those real quick?
Yeah. So basically, a direction of disintegration is usually a vice or a struggle that a person has. And a number will generally, someone of a particular number will usually struggle with a type of a life struggle. For example, a 7 will struggle from gluttony. They want to consume. They want to try things out all the time. They have a fear of missing out. While the direction of integration is a virtue that personality number tends to have. So, for example, the 7s tend to be very positive, outlooking, and they have a deep sense of gratitude. So each number will have struggles that they relate more to, and then they'll have virtues and strengths that come more naturally to them.
All right. Sorry, since you mentioned the 7, what would be the number of disintegration, the number of integration for the 7?
All right. So a 7 disintegrates into a 1, and a 7 integrates into a 5. So what that looks like is that when a 7 is disintegrating, they become into the 1, they become more cynical, less positive. They actually become judgmental, more rigid, instead of like the open, curious, go with the flow type. But when the 7's integrating, they adopt the healthy traits of the 5, which is the direction of integration. So they have that natural curiosity, but they learn to really focus on a few things and not too many things, where they spread themselves thin and really learn to really master whatever their interest is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So in a sense, you know, from the number point of view, would you say that every number has like another number that it can draw more from, and conversely, that, you know, that original same number has a different number that they can disintegrate into.
Yes. So every like I was saying, based on your number, and a lot of times I've noticed family members, brothers, sisters will have different numbers. So therefore, what comes naturally to them and their life struggles will be different in certain ways than their sibling, and what their natural strength is and the lesson they need to learn, which is usually the strength, the virtue of your direction of integration is different than your sibling, because usually your number will be different. So being aware, cool. Being knowledgeable, that's important.
Great. We're going to get back to all that after the break. We're going to have to take a break here. You're listening to The Truth is Funny. We will be back after a short break. And feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819. We'll be back to make some more shift happen.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net for show days and times.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Free. I'm filling in for Colette today, and I have my brother, Michael, here with me as a guest. We've been discussing Enneagram and Myers-Briggs, and basically, before we get back into it, I just want to let the listeners know about Colette's many events and things. You can find all kinds of information about her teleshifting events and all her live events, her paintings, all kinds of stuff. So you can find her info at thetruthisfunny.com. And you can also check out talesfromthevector.com for her paintings. Or you can also check out the energeticupgrade.com website. And she's also on social media at The Truth is Funny with Colette. And you can also email her at info@thetruthisfunny.com. So I'm going to get back into it here with my brother. Why don't we get into more of this family dynamic? And can you think of any examples where siblings are fighting or they quarrel a lot, and this information might shed some light on why they're doing that?
Yeah, so for example, like you could have one brother and another brother. For example, one can be a one and the other one could be a four. And so, and they're actually usually quite different, because as I said, the ones are usually an extrovert, sensor, thinker, judger, while a four is usually an introvert, intuitive, feeler, and perceiver. So one being a J, when they're, let's say they want to do something, well, they're trying to plan an event together or trying, the J sibling will want deadlines. They'll want to say, okay, we're doing this by 2 o'clock Tuesday, this by 4 o'clock Tuesday. And they'll want everything on a tight deadline and all that. And then as a result, you know, they might criticize the P for not being focused, for not being on it, not being clear and concise. Well, let's say, as I said, a four, who's a natural perceiver, they want to go with the flow. They want to know what the most important things are. And as the event gets closer, they want to then fill in how they're going to go about it. So they might view the judger, in this case, a one, as kind of rigid, as not opening new information, and seeing them as, oh, well, you know, we might miss out on a better option if we decide too early. So sometimes that way there could be a miscommunication because of that.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be hard. You know, I can see how it's hard in family dynamics when you have a lot of people in the family and different numbers, and we don't know this information. Yeah, it's very easy to judge each other or to say, oh, well, this, you know, either is too, you know, uptight or they're too loose or whatever it might be. In your experience, I mean, how has this helped you, for yourself or your fam, or just noticing things about the rest of your family and then communicating with those members of your family?
Right. So there was a perfect case that I had two family members, and there one is a three, an ESFJ, and the other one is a one, an ESTJ. So being aware that one was a true one was a feeler, I was able, while they were arguing, I was able to jump in a constructive way, in that I was, for example, I was able to relate to the T and say, okay, look, let's look at the bottom line. What's important here? What are the key things? But yet also allow space for the feeler who wanted to just be heard and just wanted time to kind of explain what their circumstances was, why for them this. And so by being able to stick to the bottom line and focus on what the issue was, I was able to appeal to the thinker and help the feeler understand the thinker's point of view. But by also acknowledging what was just listening to the feeler and just acknowledging the different things that came into play in their decision-making, the feeler felt heard as well. And then that way, it kind of diffused the argument.
Right. So, yeah, I find that it helps myself, too, certainly with communicating and understanding certain members of our family and people at large as well. Is there any other things you want to say as it applies to the family and how knowing the psychology can really help?
I think a lot of times I think a family member might struggle, like we said earlier, if they're one letter and everyone else is another letter. You know, we talked earlier about being the only introvert in a family. So all the extrovert family members might always want to be socializing, engaging in each other all the time, and the introvert who might just want to retreat in the room, downtime, recharge. So they'll seem like they really stick out, and if you're not, people that aren't aware of that might think, "Oh, wonder why that person is different. Why are they being antisocial? Why don't they want to be part of the family dynamic?" But by not, when they don't know this, they just think something's wrong with them or that they're just acting out. But and then the introvert in this case, who's the only one who's by themselves, might think that they're being judged or left out because they are just coming from a different point of view in this case. So it's very important to be knowledgeable of that, because it again, it's not one has to conform to the other. And so sometimes the person, especially that's by themselves, that is the only one that has that letter, could be misunderstood or judged because of that.
Well, since I've learned this, you know, I've definitely understood the different members of our family a lot better. And I definitely would say to anybody who's listening to this and wondering, you know, how is this helpful in my life, or why is this helpful, or why should I apply this? I would say that in my life that, had our parents known this and had we known this from a young age, that I could safely say that my life would have turned out very different, and probably a lot more of the struggles that I went through would not have, you know, been nearly as lengthy or difficult as they were. Would you say the same for yourself?
Yes, I think I would. Having one parent that was a feeler, if I would have known that as a kid or a young teenager, let's say, I would have known how to better communicate with them and present things in a way that could be engaged. They're like more likely to be engaged, and it definitely would have been a good insight to have in terms of better relationship, communicating better, and things of that sort, definitely.
Right. So you and I have talked a lot at length, you know, like in our family also, and our father and I had very different letters, so like that this would have been super helpful for the two of us in particular, because we had just all opposite letters, really. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I generally, when the more different the letters are, then the more likely there's opportunity, let's say, for misunderstanding and butting heads and things of that sort. And when it's so, when the letters are complete opposite in that case, it just, and if you're not knowledgeable about this, then the other person could just, why you don't understand why they're saying this or what their point of view is, and like the thinker might just think the feeler's being unpractical and bring up this background that's not relevant. And then, for example, the feeler might think think that the thinker's being cold-hearted, and then if you tie that in with the fact that like one's an extrovert, one's an introvert, then that there's also that dynamic there, because the extroverts just talk, and the introverts trying to be quiet and take that in, and then again that's, if there's not that cognition of okay for the extrovert to let the, that silence to let the introvert kind of take it in and then respond, then there's definitely can be a lot of conflict, and it just becomes, oh, who can talk louder than the other, basically.
Uh-huh. All right. I'll let you get back into it after, because we're going to have to go to break here in a minute. Just want to remind our callers, our listeners, if you want to call in and give them the phone number one last time. We still have time for a caller after the break. If you guys want to call in, it's 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on The Truth is Funny to make some more shift happen.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to The Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net for show days and times.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
1230 WPLQ.
Hi, this is Phil Free, filling in for Colette today on The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. You can reach me at whatphil@hotmail.com, whatphil@hotmail.com. If you have any questions about energy and want to make some shift happen. Today I have my brother on the line with Michael, and we are talking about personalities, and we're talking about family members and each other. We were talking a little over the break, and you had a question for me, so go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, Phil, now with your knowledge of the Myers-Briggs and Enneagram, how has it helped you in your energetic healing?
Well, yeah, certainly it helps. It just gives a broad, for one, I mean, just expanding your awareness in almost any way, really. If you know how to integrate it with yourself, then it's helpful. Basically, so just for one, having more knowledge, that's the start of it. But then, yes, it gives me all kinds of insights. For example, it gives me, there's some immediate things that jump out at people that didn't used to jump out at people, about people to me before. And so, yes, like I can tell very quickly, usually, if somebody's introvert, extrovert. Once, to me, I start to apply a little bit what you've been doing, in the sense that I'll start also with identifying somebody's letters. Once I got the letters, I'll look into the, figure out what their number is. When I got their number, I feel like I've got a lot of insight on them, in the sense that I know what to zero in on. I know also what their language is. I know what their process is, and it becomes much easier to communicate with them. And it also becomes to have them be able to relate to me, because I use language that they understand, catchphrases that they understand or that resonate with them, in other words. And also knowing what the vices of the different numbers are, it's so easy to zero in on certain things. And of course, we can't assume, like we said earlier at the beginning of the show, just because somebody's a certain number, they automatically have this issue. It shows, a lot of times these numbers and letters will show people's tendencies. So I can kind of zero in right there and see if there is a shift that needs to happen, you know, right there on that level. Is it their vice that's is it their common vice? Or if not, then I look elsewhere. But it gives me something to zero in right from the get-go. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear that. That definitely answers my question. Would you say that, what would you say in experience are some of the more struggles when you're testing genetically in terms of either the number or the letter differences?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I'll start with the letters, because like I mentioned, I said, you know, it is a little bit easier to pick somebody's letters out quickly. So often I'll start with that. And one of the, you know, we've talked about things. I mean, you know, certainly introverts, extroverts, you know, that's kind of the classic thing. I think people have become more aware of that one. And so there's a little bit, it's not quite as problematic maybe as some of the other ones. I find that thinker feeler one is one that people conflict a lot over. I mean, like you mentioned in the example, earlier that you used with the three and the one. Otherwise, I also noticed the sensor and the intuitive tend to speak a little bit of a different language as well. And so while one is speaking in metaphors, the intuitive a lot, the other one is more concerned with the facts. So a lot of times, like if they're at a museum together describing, you know, the paintings, you would hear very, very different, you know, comments coming out of the sensor and out of the intuitive. I noticed that a lot. And I find it makes also for challenges in couples sometimes when they're speaking that different language. Yeah, you know, that's some of what I notice.
So in a way you would say a lot of things too is addressing the problem and also helping people get at a neutral state where they understand both point of views and are actually are okay with either side of the coin or either letter, correct? Like,
right.
About helping like understand and being neutral in decisions and things of that sort. Would right. you say that's kind of one of the right. goals of your energetic healing?
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that people can use this all kinds of ways. You can use this. I'm sure businesses use this on employees and things like this. I mean, for me, the most interesting way to do this is, yes, to be able to hone in and help people. Yes, to be able to talk to people of different numbers, of different letter types, and also, yeah, get people to understand that, like, you know, whatever your type is, it's not to get too high or low about it, because, you know, you have your virtues, you have your vices, and you know, it's not just about staying there and just like, you know, oh, well, I'm this number, so I just want to, you know, brag about it all the time, or you know, stay, you know, kind of get comfortable within my number. I mean, we're always going to have part of us that's going to be that number in a sense, but the goal is to really work on our vices and to take on the positive qualities of other numbers as well. The ideal with this Enneagram is to really take on so many positives that we are indistinguishable to others. Would you say that's correct too?
Yeah, I would say that's correct. That's the goal is, I think, is just to have deeper self knowledge and grow and just feel more and more comfortable with whatever preference of letter and just continue to integrate. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it kind of sounds like you're saying that it's more of a roadmap than not just a destination, right?
Certainly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm also saying it seems pretty obvious. I think your number shows up when we're dealing with the Enneagram stuff. The number shows up more obviously when somebody is disintegrating. Like the way they disintegrate is much more predictable than the way you would ascend, in a sense, because you start, like I said, when you ascend, you're taking on the qualities of everyone. Would you agree with that as well?
Yes, I definitely agree that as you're integrating, you get, in a way, you become harder to recognize your letters because you've adopted the healthy traits or the virtues of your direction of integration. Yes.
Right. So yeah, and just to finish up on the getting neutral to different sides. Yeah, I mean, I think that letter thing, you know, the fact that it's kind of an either or. I think that with the energy work, we want to get people neutral to both sides, you know, so if they're the thinker or they're the feeler, not to get attached to being, you know, to see, like, to be okay with being the thinker, but see the point of view of the feeler as well, and vice versa. We only have a couple minutes left on the show here, so I just want to say thanks. Do you have any thoughts before we wrap up here?
Right. Again, the starting point, the wisdom of the on Richard Rizzo. I think that's a good, the Enneagram. I highly recommend that, even if not having any family issues right now or just currently in life, just to take the time to look this over, because I think you'll definitely see people in your life say, aha, now I understand where this person's coming from. And
sure.
I've just seen it helpful in a lot of people's lives.
Great. Well, thanks. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. And I suppose we probably have more parents than children listening right now. So I definitely advise this to parents. It'll help you understand your partner as well as your children and how to handle them. And maybe, you know, maybe something isn't wrong with them. You know, a lot of parents want to medicate their kids too soon and things like that. I would advise them to look into this information before you put your kids on any kind of medication, really, unless it's some sort of emergency, of course. All right. Well, as always, it's been a pleasure to connect with all of you out there in the audience. I'd like to say a big thank you to my brother, Michael, for being on the show. I'd like to say thank you to Brian, the producer, and Colette will be back next week, Wednesday at 8 a.m. You've been listening to The Truth is Funny. And bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth is Funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.